Everyone agrees, bacon makes everything better. Even marketing. This is the Bacon Podcast, where you'll learn to cure your marketing.
And make your business sizzle. Can't believe I said that.
Internet marketing, online marketing, social media tips and techniques. Now, to help you bring more bacon home, the master of marketing sizzle, Brian Basilico. This is the Bacon Podcast.
Welcome, everybody. I'm your host, Brian Basilico, and this is the podcast where you learn to make your business sizzle online. So are you ready to fry up some new business?
Hey, peeps. Today, we're going to have a deep topic, and we're going to be talking about not success, which is what everybody wants, obviously, but we're going to be talking about failure. And this person I'm interviewing, his name is Miha Matlievski, and he's actually over in Serbia. And his specialty is failure, but not failing. It's what to do about failure. So, Miha, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you, Brian, for having me as a guest on your show. It's a pleasure to be here.
Oh, man, it's a pleasure to have you on. And I know that, you know, you come to me as somebody that came recommended by one of my other guests, and she was just blown away by your story and by your take on failure. So I wanted to get my audience to know you. So how did you go from, you know, whatever you were doing before to all of a sudden decide, I'm going to focus on failure? How did that happen?
Monumental personal failure and getting myself back up. And I mean, thank you for the compliment. I'm so glad that this is not a video podcast because I'm absolutely blushing.
That's awesome. So let's get into the story. What, you know, when you say monumental failure, what does that mean? I mean, what did you experience that all of a sudden made you go, aha, there's something here?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I'm going to give you a super short version because we don't have enough time to go very in-depth. It took me almost 23 years for the whole story. So the super short version is before I was 30, I created quite a few very successful companies. And also my personal net worth at that time was around 15 million US. I mean, I calculated that into the US dollars because I'm guessing most of your audience is from the USA. And overnight, literally overnight, one of my companies was doing a big real estate project. And with the financial crisis in 2009, I mean, in 2008 in the US, but then in Europe, it was in 2009, my project just overnight became unsellable, or not at the amount of money that we would be investing in. So we would lose money. And the bank said no more. And it was Monday, December 7, 2009, when I got that call. Next day, my personal net worth wiped out. My companies, because they were all co-signers of that agreement, put into bankruptcy, all the money taken by the bank. I ended up even additional 5 million US dollars in personal debt. So that's how the whole journey of failure started. And of course, immediately after, I went into huge depression, anxiety. It was literally just darkness within me. No idea of goals, dreams. I couldn't believe that I can ever achieve anything. You know, I didn't just fail. I took myself as, now I'm a failure. I'm a failure forever. And all of that, together with all the phone calls from everybody who I owed money to, and those were not nice calls. You know, it wasn't like, oh, I'm going to sue you. It was more like very close to what mafia would tell you if they would call you and you owe them money. At that time, my head was so full of constantly overthinking the past, not seeing the future. It was like a nuclear reactor, and I couldn't quiet it down. And all I wanted was a bit of quiet. And so the idea of suicide was, you know, like you jump off the balcony, it might hurt for a second, and then it's over. Complete dead silence. And it was so appealing that one night I actually was already on the other side of the balcony. I out loud said to myself, Miha, you F-word failed. You messed it up. And it was for the first time that I wasn't blaming anybody else. And hearing myself say the word you was the aha moment, because the next idea was, oh my God, if I change things, if I do things differently, I already did it once, I can do it better, I can do even bigger thing. And suddenly that light appeared. I wasn't there yet, but I could see the light. And first thing, well, of course, I went back to the other side of the balcony, and then I took out a huge piece of paper, and I really just started brainstorming, writing down all the bad habits I need to change, all the lessons I need to learn, everything. And it was a huge, huge, huge list, believe me. But the first thing I did in the morning, I started calling people who were daily calling me, and I said, you know what? If you want to kill me, like, just grab a gun. That's my address. Let's end it now, because this is unbearable. Or if you want your money back, either you leave me alone and I'll call you once a month and give you an update, or let's end it now, because I won't be able to do that. And they all agreed. And so I started this journey of first personal development, because you need to lay down the right foundation within you. Business doesn't happen outside of you. You need to be in control. You need to be in the driver's seat. And the biggest thing was how to deal with failure, because I realized that no matter what you want to achieve, you always have to go through much more roadblocks or bumps around the road, or, you know, failures, little failures, bigger failures, to get to a few successes. It's just the way the thing works. And so I learned that I have to deal with failure first. I realized that I'm an entrepreneur, not just by job title, but I am an entrepreneur. And I love hanging with entrepreneurs. I love brainstorming and masterminding and all of that. And I just went to the local startup incubator and I volunteered. And soon companies started calling me, and entrepreneurs calling me, and so on. And then one day, I was having a drink with a friend, and he said, well, you love doing this. Like, why wouldn't you become, you know, a coach, a mentor, an advisor? And then I said, well, yeah, but how do I, you know, call the company? Like, you know, at that time I was like, how? I need a domain name. And he said, well, you know, you learned everything that you know, mostly from your failure. Why wouldn't you be the fail coach? And I fell in love. At that instant, I went online, it was free, and I just bought it, and I never looked back. You know, there's too much out there, especially on the internet, of people just showing the bright side, mm-hmm. and too little of, you know, full transparency and telling the full story. And people want to hear the full story.
Mm-hmm. You've got a handful of things going on that I absolutely love. So I've got a couple of thoughts. I mean, I got a bunch of random thoughts, but the first thing that you talked about, standing on that balcony and dropping the F-bomb on yourself, was aligned with something that I had to learn, and it was about forgiveness. And holding a grudge against somebody else is like taking poison yourself and hoping the other person dies. And you almost have to do that for yourself. You have to learn forgiveness for yourself. And that's something that you've done that's huge. Second thing that came to mind when you were talking was Thomas Edison. He never looked at himself as a failure as much as he said, I figured out 1,000 ways that the light bulb wouldn't work. And he had an attitude like that. So when you're encountering people, and I personally, I think the fail coach is brilliant because it stands out, because there's so much rah-rah about here's how you get rich and this is how you do this and, you know, just follow this 10 simple system. When reality is everybody fails a heck of a lot more than they succeed. And it's true. I mean, I've reinvented myself over the course of 40 years of doing this so many times because I got to a point where it failed. And I had to say, okay, I'm good at this. Let's figure out how to do it a different way. You know, so I just love what you have to say. So what's the most common thing that they come to you that they feel like they can't overcome?
Usually it's the fear of failure, obviously. And another thing is infobesity. You know, like 20 years ago, information was really valuable. People who held information were valued. Nowadays, information is out there. I mean, we can just pick up our smartphones, you and I, and start talking about quantum physics. And we would probably have a conversation a meaningful conversation about it. But the problem now is filtering that information, you know, and it's a complete infobesity of overload of information and everybody yelling at you, you know, like, here's a blueprint, there's a blueprint, this steps, five steps, three steps. And, you know, when you are, especially when you're starting out, but even later in business, you know, you go online and you start searching and then, you know, 10,000 articles pop out and, each person writing that article takes a different approach, different view. They try to use different words, different fancy names, and so on. And most of my clients are just, you know, they have no clarity, no idea. They're completely overwhelmed on, you know, what my first step, next step should be. And, you know, they say that I really have good way of making it super simple. I don't know, maybe because I always loved the concept of napkin story. I mean, this was something I was taught by a few corporations I was working with earlier on, where if you can't explain it to a five-year-old on a coffee napkin, you have to go back to the drawing board. No matter how complex and technical your product is, you obviously don't understand it well enough and you can't communicate it clearly. And so I do things very simply. If people will check out my program, they will see that lessons are to the point, you know, exactly what you get, short, sweet. So, you know, once you go through, when you have to go back, you know, immediately what you need, you go, you click. I give a whole lot of examples. And what they really, really love is the brainstorming sessions that we do twice or three times a week. Because, you know, they apply something that they learn, they hit a few roadblocks, they jump on the brainstorming session. I bring all 23 years of all my failure. And trust me, I failed probably at everything you can fail in business. I mean, at least it feels like that. And I bring that to the table. And even so far, I already worked with more than 3,500 entrepreneurs in different ways, from one-on-one to, you know, group coaching, workshops, and so on. And I just bring all that to the table. We find solutions super quickly. They go, they implement, bam, next step, next step. So we really are implementing fail fast, fail forward.
I love that concept of infobesity. I just think that is so well done, because people do, they get so deep into the woods about, you know, what I call BSOS, which is bright, shiny object syndrome. You have to learn Facebook ads. You have to learn this. You have to do this. You have to do that. But really what it boils down to is the basics never change. And to kind of build on what you were saying, one of the things I do is I teach people LinkedIn. And in your LinkedIn profile, you get a headline. In that headline, you get 120 characters. It's your napkin. In that napkin, I love the fact that you put that together too. In that napkin, in that 120 characters, you have to get a point, get across 3 points. And the 3 points are, who do you serve? What do you do? And what problem do you solve, or how do you do it? So in other words, who are you serving? You know, exactly. Who should be paying attention to you? How do you solve their problem? First, you have to identify their problem, and you have to say, I understand your problem, and show that empathy. And the last one is, how do you do it? What special power do you bring to this? And you have to do all of that in basically 120 characters. And that's tough. That's really, really tough.
Mm-hmm. I know. I mean, thankfully, I'm going more for branding on LinkedIn. So because I'm not doing any sales there. I mean, mm-hmm. I just love doing the interviews. Mm-hmm. Now in September, I'll also do a few of my own shows, sharing, you know, failures and what I learned from them and the successes and all of that. So yeah, I love my LinkedIn lives. I was one of the lucky few invited to join the beta program, and I'm enjoying it a lot. And so I'm more going just for the branding. So, but yeah, I mean, my intention is different on that platform. But yes, if your intention is to find new clients, then absolutely, I agree. It needs to be super clear. And I believe, like, first thing that you need is product market fit. Product market fit is, who's my audience? Who's my ideal audience I want to serve? What problem and solution I'm bringing to the table, aka my product, which is bridging the gap, even if that's batteries for a remote control, and a business model that's sustainable to them, so they can pay, they can afford it, and it's sustainable for you. And that's a product market fit. And then go and sell it to a few people, and that's how you validate it. I wouldn't even go into any operational stuff, any, you know, building this long client journeys and all of that until I have a validated product market fit. Without that, I have nothing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good point. So let's give my audience a golden nugget. I want to give them a takeaway for this episode. And what would be the one thing, if you could coach them just real quickly on the biggest thing they need to overcome as far as their mindset on failure, what one piece of advice would you give them here?
Well, obviously, you can't overcome failure. You just have to accept that failure is part of your life. And it's not success is one thing, failure is another thing. They're just two sides of the same coin. And you know, through failure, you achieve success. Now, of course, there's smart way of failing and you know, the not so smart way of failing. So a not so smart would be you just keep on trying same things and you expect different results. So get your processes done. When you set a goal, let it go and then focus on the process, because every goal is achieved through steps. You want to lose weight? Well, you know, you have to go to the gym, you have to eat healthier, and you'll lose weight. So those are the steps. And then try to measure those steps, because that will give you key performance indicator or KPIs. And through the KPIs, you will understand whether things are going in the desired way or not, because you can then benchmark them against future desired results or past experiences or industry averages or competition and so on. And that will give you very quick, very logical, not emotional, but very logical view how your steps are actually performing. And then you can just see whether those steps are in alignment with the end goal that you want to achieve. I mean, if I want to lose 50 pounds in 1 month and I go to McDonald's every second day, well, the KPI is very obvious and I'm not going to achieve that, even if I just eat the salad, because you know what? That salad has more calories than the Big Mac. I once checked it and I was shocked.
Yeah, that's, it's so well put on the weight loss side of things. And I think the biggest challenge that people have, you said it spot on, is they look at failure as the Debbie Downer and they look at success. It's almost like the elusive gold ring that they're reaching for, and it's always just one step out of reach. So they have a failure and they can't quite get to that success, and it just keeps building. They keep feeling like they're going deeper in a hole rather than moving forward.
You have to take away the emotions, and here's where numbers, you know, there's nothing emotional about numbers. Mm-hmm. Numbers are just pure logic. And so the key is to flip the script and not react emotionally. Oh, I wanted to lose weight. I didn't achieve that. But, you know, you at that time, you're not thinking, oh, yeah, but I was in McDonald's every second day. You're just focused on the goal and you didn't achieve it. When you focus on the process and you say, okay, something went wrong in the process. So what was my process? Oh, this was where I did wrong. Okay, so I need to eliminate that. Maybe add a bit more exercise. Maybe do even more healthy food. And then through polishing up the process, you will achieve a goal.
Miha, this is such solid, great advice. It's amazing. And I'm sure my audience is going to want to learn a little bit more about you and your process. So how do they find out more about this?
Very simple. I mean, I'm often asked, like, you know, why do you do what you do by having the freedom? And I always tell people, like, if I could do, but I have four dogs I need to take care of and my lovely girlfriend and so on, so I can't really do that 24/7. But in the ideal world, I would probably just have my Zoom client open all the time and just entrepreneurs jumping in and out, and we talk and we mastermind and brainstorm and help each other. So, yeah, I do. Like twice a week, I do live brainstorming sessions. It's a small group. I mean, it's limited to a small size so that I can really give enough attention to everybody. So yeah, and the easiest way is to just go to frameworkforfreedom.me, and they can either write it with the word four or the number four. Yeah, that will take them to my chatbot. The chatbot will give them the Calendly link, and then I always update that link for at least 2 weeks in advance, and they can see all the schedules of upcoming brainstorming sessions. And let's, you know, create some aha moments. Let's have a breakthrough together. I mean, my clients absolutely love them because they can really fail fast, fail forward. Plus, it gives them the accountability if they join. Even a lot of them say just listening to other struggles and the help there gives them a lot of ideas and brainstorming. So it's really like this really nice space that we use for helping each other out.
Love it. So if people wanted to follow you, say, you know, watch your Facebook or excuse me, watch your LinkedIn lives or just follow you in general, what's the best way for them to do that?
Two platforms. One is definitely LinkedIn. I do a lot of content there. I do a lot of interviews, and I adore my LinkedIn life. And the second one, where I wasn't really active now for some time, which is my Facebook. They are more than welcome to join in or add me on those both profiles. Plus, I do have a nice little podcast, which is Brain Dumb by the Fail Coach. Very easy.
Awesome. Well, Miha, this has been great getting to know you. You dropped some incredibly helpful sizzling hot bacon knowledge bombs on my peeps. I really appreciate you and your time, and I look forward to having you on again to talk a little bit more about business pillars.
Perfect. I mean, Brian, again, thank you for inviting me. I love how this was really just a conversation. I really love that style. And yeah, again, thank you for inviting me. I really appreciate you for what you're doing, and just keep on doing it, because people, the world needs more of this kind of content.
Well, that's it for today's Bacon Podcast. We hope you enjoyed it and learned something today. If you did, please go to iTunes and give us a review. We appreciate all your feedback and comments. If you have any questions, go to www.baconpodcast.com/questions, and we'll make sure we get those answered for you. Till next time, keep sizzling.